welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I am Kate Spencer. Dori Shafrir is on maternity leave with her adorable baby. And with me today is, dare I say, I don't even want to say a friend of the pod. I'm going to say an uncle of the pod. a fearless leader of the pod. What am I going to call you?
I mean, Uncle Pod sounds feels good.
Let's say producer of the podcast, Sammy Junio, who has been with us since day one, literally even like negative day one, is here to step in as guest host of this mini episode. And a friendly reminder, Sammy and I are not experts. We are two friends. We don't talk a lot about serums together, but you listen to me talk a lot about serums.
Yeah, and it's a delight.
Well, thanks, Sammy. We do talk a lot about dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Sammy is... in another life, a dog whisperer.
In this life, a dog
whisperer. That's true. And I mean, like outside of the podcasting, although podcasting and dogs kind of go hand in hand. You're at somebody's home, you're podcasting, their dog is there. Yeah.
Pod dogs are a lot.
Pod dogs, you know, you could start an Instagram called Pod Dogs.
I actually was at my friend's house and their roommate was dog sitting a dog that I know. And
is that the dog that was in like a diaper and suspenders on your Instagram?
Uh-huh. Yeah, Maddie. So I Instagram tagged her owner and her owner was just like, oh, you two should have a series together. I was just like, oh, that's on your mind?
Me and
oh,
your,
that's it?
Your dog in that dog was in suspenders.
Yeah, to hold up the diaper. Maddie. I stepped foot into the apartment and I was just like, oh, that's Maddie. And I picked her up and I held her for like 5 minutes. I can't with that dog. She's like 800 years old.
She was so cute. You should be following Sammy on it_your_Sam for great quality dog content. And Sammy, you have graciously agreed to join us for this mini episode.
I have.
Because I can't give advice on my own. I need a friend.
Here I am.
And on mini episodes, this is where we hear from you, our listeners. We share your comments and thoughts and answer your questions to the best of our ability. And please remember, our ability is as podcast hosts and podcast producers, not as mental health professionals. So, you know, always please seek outside help for any question you might have, whether it be about eyeshadow or therapy. Ask a professional.
A mental health professional, especially.
Can you imagine?
For your eyeshadow.
You know what? I do talk to my therapist about anything and everything. And sure. I feel like they wouldn't be upset if I was like, listen, got an eyeshadow question. Do I need a primer? If you do want to reach us, our voicemail number is 781-591-0390. And you can always email us at forever35podcast@gmail.com. And we are going to kick things off with a voicemail about a controversial topic that I'm not sure it's come up on an episode yet, and I'm excited. It maybe has, and I'm excited to dig in, dare we say, pun intended.
Kate Horse.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hi. So I just have a really quick question / poll that is always a topic of conversation between me and my friends. I don't know why, but it's about Q-tips. First of all, why were they even invented? And second of all, do you use them? And if so, do you put it in your ears to clean your ear? I know you're not supposed to. I know that everything on the box says do not put this into your ear canal, but I do it every day, sometimes multiple times a day, because it feels so good. I know I'm not the only one. I know a lot of people love shoving the Q-tip in there too, but I'm sure there's some people who do other things with their Q-tip. That's it. Thanks. Bye.
Are you a Q-tip ear swabber, Sammy?
Absolutely I am.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, it feels so good in
it's
there.
It's the best feeling.
What frustrates me is that Q-tips is the brand and ear cleaners. Like if you buy a non-Q-tip ear cleaner, there's something about like the little stick thing that was just like always doesn't hold up.
You're saying that the Q-tip quality is better than any sort of generic.
Yeah,
I 100% agree, and I notice a difference when my husband, who's also a big Q-tip, he's like a daily Q-tip user.
Oh, same.
You do daily?
Oh yeah.
I'm like
even
every
in the middle of the day.
No wait,
when
like
I need
this
a rush.
You're hitting a low.
Just shove a Q-tip in there.
Well, What does make me laugh about Q-tips is that I bought them recently and nowhere in the Q-tip box does it, like, they are adamant that you do not put them in your ears. I think any doctor would say, do not put them in your ears. Because apparently, I mean, not only can you hurt your ear, but it just like shoves the earwax back into it. It doesn't actually help remove it.
Right.
Is my understanding. Again, let me reiterate, not a medical professional. Talk to a medical professional about Q-tips.
Dr. Sammy here. Let me just... I don't know. Like, yeah, sure. But it takes stuff out of there.
I also find it rewarding when I use a Q-tip and I get some stuff.
Yeah.
Is that gross?
No, it's fantastic. It's just like, oh, yeah. Do you also, like, look at your tissues after you blow into them?
Sometimes.
It's so fun.
It's
like, bodies are so silly.
Bodies are so weird. It's kind of like when you look in the toilet to see what came out.
Oh, yeah. Totes.
You know? I don't think there's any, like, any shame in examining the things that come out of our body.
It's true. I mean, that's part of the reason why diva cups are so fun.
Oh, shit. Diva cups are crazy. Have you... diva cups. I think a lot about them because they're very handy, but then the extraction of the diva cup is a fucking journey.
It's a little silly.
It is, but they work very well.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say that my nutritionist that I have talked about working with, I think I've mentioned this, that I'm working with a nutritionist on intuitive eating, and they're like gung ho about like checking out your poops. Cause that's how you can see how you're digesting stuff.
Sure.
So like they're really encouraging me to really be checking things out. How did we get from here from ear swabbing to here?
Just the things that come out of your body.
The caller asked who invented Q-tips and I Wikipedia'd that. Were invented in 1923 by a Polish-American man named Leo Gertzenzang after he watched his wife attach wads of cotton to toothpicks.
Ooh.
Here's an interesting tidbit. This is all according to Wikipedia. I am reading directly off the site. His product, originally named Baby Gaze, Q-tips Baby Gaze, and finally just Q-tips, went on to become the most widely sold brand name of cotton swab buds. There you go.
What was wife using?
Toothpicks with cotton wads?
Put in her ear?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I know. And it says here, although doctors have said for years that it's not safe to use cotton swabs for ear cleaning, it remains the most common use. So I feel like the world is like, well, fuck you, doctors. We are digging in with those cotton swabs.
If you're not putting it in, LOL, what are you doing with it by your ear?
A Q-tip?
Yeah.
Just maybe cleaning out like the crevices. I think maybe you're not supposed to use it for, like, I have been using a Q-tip to put tea tree oil on a zit. That's kind of the only other time I've ever used a Q-tip for something other than my ears.
Sure.
It was like, this was the best way to apply a little bit of tea tree oil on a pimple.
Okay.
I mean, did you use a Q-tip for anything else?
I have a hole in my tooth.
Wait a second, Sammy. Every time you're on this podcast, we learn something so new about you. What?
I have a hole in my tooth from a cavity.
Ow.
And I'll take an ear cleaner and put hydrogen peroxide and kind of use that to drip it in there.
And clean out the hole that's in your tooth?
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to get you to a dentist to get that fixed?
Probably.
Okay, we're going to talk about that off the air.
Ear cleaners.
We can move on. We have another voicemail. This one is about an entirely different topic. Are you ready?
Yes.
Hi, Kate and Dory. I hope you can hear me all right. My name is Gabby. I'm currently driving across Washington State to Seattle. I just finished my junior year at Washington State University. And I'm driving to Seattle because I'll be living there over the summer with my boyfriend, which is really exciting and scary, but like that's a question for another time. My question for you guys is, I have been applying to internships and jobs and trying to find something to do over the summer, and it's been getting really frustrating because I've been getting a lot of rejection. So I was just wondering if you guys have any good tips for self-care during that time, just because it's really hard when you try to feel confident about applying places and you want to feel like secure. And I know this is going to get even worse after I graduate college, like trying to find actual full-time jobs out in the real world, so I was just wondering if you guys had any advice about self-care during that. So thank you. I love the show. You guys are like older sisters that I never had and I've always wanted. So thank you guys so much.
Oh, that's very nice. Thank you for thinking of us as older sisters.
Well, Sister Kate,
I'll take it. I will take it. Dealing with rejection specifically during the job process. My friend, comma listener, the frustrating thing about rejection is that you're right. Like this is never, it's always going to be a part of life. So getting to a place in which you come up with tools to process it, I think is really wise. So kudos to you for thinking long-term here. And also I would say rejection is across the board. It's going to be with jobs. It's going to be with friends, with partners, with all sorts of situations. But dealing with it on the job front, I would say get yourself a great song, a confidence boosting song that when stuff is rough or you're opening yet another email rejection or whatever it is, or not hearing back from a job you interviewed for 4 weeks ago and you're like, where the heck are they? I would give yourself like your rage song.
Ooh, what is your rage song?
For some reason, all that's coming into my brain is Eye of the Tiger, but I don't think I've ever played that in a moment of like needing to be fired up. I like Secondhand News by Fleetwood Mac. For someone that's always made me like kind of get a little growly. You just need a song that's going to kind of revive you.
Sure.
I think is in terms of like a very basic coping mechanism.
Yeah, that's fair.
Do you have you dealt with career rejection?
Not necessarily, but that's only because I am a coward and I only go out for things that I already have.
This is interesting.
So, I mean, it's brave enough to just apply to anything.
I know this person's already like putting themselves out there and doing an amazing job. What about like any sort of what about relationship rejection or any other rejection in like another form? Do you have coping tools for it?
Yeah, I listened to the Gaston song from Beauty and the Beast.
Sammy. The one that's like, Gaston, Gaston, how I love my... That one? Da, 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 da.
Yes. Where they're singing about Gaston
like
in the bar.
How sexy and perfect he is.
Uh-huh.
And that gets you fired up?
Yeah, it sure does.
Sammy, are you serious? That's your rejection song? I love this so much.
Yeah.
What is it about that song?
Well, they're just like, I mean, Gaston's a real bad dude.
He's terrible.
But like, just his friends are just like, no, dude, you're great and you're ridiculous and look at all this stuff and you eat all these eggs. It's just like, oh, yeah.
I'll take it. I think, don't you think music helps?
Absolutely.
With like, it just gets you like centered and can give you a little injection. I don't know if confidence, but it just can like bring that feeling of power back into your being.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It's confidence song is like a very good part of like self-care when you're like feeling down on yourself.
A confidence song.
Yeah.
I like it called that. Lane, do you have a confidence song?
It changes.
Okay. Lane's weighing in.
Oh,
that's a good... Okay, Lane recommends Pretty Pimpin' by Kurt Vile. That's a good song.
Any song that you, like, can't help but feel yourself to.
Yeah. Jen Gotch, who you can follow on Instagram, who's the founder of Bando, which is an online company, has this thing that she does on her Instagram called Trash Can Dance, where she dances next to the trash can and, like, just really commits to being in her body and dancing. And that feels very empowering for me. I mean, I think, like, when we're thinking about rejection, a lot of the times it's, like, that kind of stuff that just, like, little things you can do to still feel your own power and strength. Because rejection, it can be very... not dehumanizing, but it can just kind of...
It sucks.
It makes you feel like you have no control over anything. And obviously... is a big, you know, blow to the old self-esteem.
Sure. Yeah. But just like, this is obviously easier said than done, but just remind yourself that they're missing out on you.
Mm.
And you're great and fantastic. And when you're dancing to your confidence song, like, shove it to them. You're missing out on how fun you are.
The other thing I would say is that for all the rejection you're going to get, there are going to be yeses in the world. And you, and to experience the high and the joy of the yes, there's always going to be rejection. So you are doing, I think you're doing yourself such a great service by thinking about it and coming up with tools for it now. Whew. Well, Sammy, confidence song. Someone's got to make that playlist.
Ooh, do it.
We should. That will be a fun Instagram question. I'm going to pose that to the audience on the old Instagrams. Your confidence song.
Five confidence songs.
Sammy's is the Gaston song from Beauty and the Beast. Mine is a Fleetwood Mac song. Really says a lot about who we are, I think.
I think so, too.
All right. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough. Enough.
I mean, drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college when I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress?
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh. Sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With honey love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to not sacrifice lift. All while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s. But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there. The overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done a consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode. Sammy, we have another voicemail.
Let's do it.
It's a little long. It's sensitive. Let's dig in here.
Hi, Kate and Dory, or Kate and co-host while Dory is out. My name is Sarah, and I am calling with a question about dealing with your own guilt when you live away from your parents. I grew up in the Boston suburbs as well, represent 781. And now I live in the Washington, D.C. area. And I have a lot of reasons for wanting to be here. This is where I started my legal career. I just got a new job. I'm moving in with my boyfriend in, like, actual weeks. But my parents are going through a really hard time where they live in Massachusetts. They just moved my grandmother up from Florida. She's struggling with dementia and some physical health issues. And my dad is injured, can't drive. They have a great support system of friends up there. But it's just, I feel so bad that I'm not there to, like, pick my grandmother up from the hospital and take her back to her new assisted living, because neither of my parents can really make it. It's a long story. Anyway, without dumping all of the details on you, I feel shitty about not being able to help more on a day-to-day basis. I try to call almost every day and do what I can, but I have, like, a really immense amount of guilt about it, to the point where sometimes I'm like, should I just move home, even though I don't want to? I want to be here. My life is here, but my family is there, and I'm having trouble squaring that, and I just feel bad. Anyway, I know that you both live far away from your parents as well. And if you have any thoughts on how to get through the periods of guilt about this, I assume that you have those. I think everybody probably does. But anyway, thanks for everything. And thanks, Nora, for being a great co-host this week. I just got through that episode, and this has been a very long voicemail. But anyway, thanks again to you both, and I'd really appreciate your thoughts or other listeners' thoughts. Thanks, and have a great rest of the weekend. Bye.
Okay. Oof. Wow. Listener, totally feel you. Sammy, you live away from your family as well.
Yeah, we are pretty spread out.
Yeah,
at this point,
you're all over, right? Like, mm-hmm. You've got family in Colorado, you've got family in Vegas.
Yeah, so my parents and my eldest sister and her husband live in Las Vegas, and my sister lives in Denver, and two of my nephews live in Denver or the surrounding areas, and then one of my nephews lives in Durango. I live in LA as well as my brother and my sister.
So that's a lot of family spread out.
Yeah, and we used to all be concentrated in Colorado, aside from my sister that's been in LA.
Yeah.
And it's so rough, because we did grow up, like, so tight-knit and close and stuff, and we've always been there for each other when things get really rough. And my sister and my parents are going through some health things too, and it is really, really hard to be away from them. But I think that this, if you're spinning it, like, your parents are proud of you and you have found a good life and you're living the best way that you can, and your happiness is important to them. But also, they've figured it out and they're managing.
Yeah. And also, it sounds like this listener, I know the feelings of guilt, and I think sometimes they can cloud us from seeing reality. And the reality is, you're doing a lot already. Like, you are showing up in the ways that you can. And maybe we can brainstorm some other things you can do so you feel like you are contributing. But, like, the fact that you're in touch with them and the fact that you are conscious that it's hard, like, I bet you are doing more than you realize.
Right.
And also, I do think it's like this weird catch 22 with parents, where, like, they want you to be, like, out living your best, like, being true to yourself and living your life. And all, you know, like, when my mom was really sick, I talk about this all the time and wrote a book at it about having a dead mom, but still people are just finding out that my mom had pancreatic cancer 12 years ago. I moved home to help take care of her, and she would be like, please go back to New York and go see your friends and do your job, like, do the things you love. She was like, please go away, even though I was helping care for her, you know, because I think they want you. I think oftentimes, and I know obviously we can't speak for every parent to ever exist in the world, but parents do want you to be focusing on your own life and your own relationships and growing yourself as a person. So I think if there are things you can do that you feel are concrete to help whether that is checking in with a voicemail or FaceTime, whether that is contributing financially, if that's something you want to think about, or, you know, like getting your parents a housekeeper, or you know, maybe there's, you can send them a gift card for, I don't mean, there's certain sure, things yeah, there's you can do. Stuff. Yeah. You can help get a food delivery service or someone to get their groceries for them, or you can just make sure you check in. And I think that means a lot.
Yeah. And you said you call them almost every day. I mean, take it one step further and get like Marco Polo or one of those apps where you just like send little cute little videos over.
Yeah.
And it's like a ongoing thread, and you can, and your parents can like easily watch them and go back and just be, if they miss you and you haven't sent a video yet, like there are a lot of things to keep in close communication if you're far away.
And I will say, DC to Boston, you could do the Amtrak. If it's, again, we obviously don't know like your financial situation, but if it's affordable for you, you can, you know, fly, maybe try to fly home every eight, you know, if you want to try to figure out little ways where you can be present while still maintaining your life in DC, I think that's definitely something you could consider. But be kind to yourself. It sounds like you are a really thoughtful family member and are probably already doing a lot more than you realize. And just your support and phone calls probably mean a lot.
It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article. And I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping, and they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters. And then my favorite, my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs.
Oh.
Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. I mean, you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
True that.
Sammy, can we just wrap it up with one final email?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's the email. Kate, this is for me, Sammy. I also share your love for Costco. Right now, I live 15 to 20 minutes away from two really good Costcos. However, I will be moving shortly, and my nearest Costco will be 30 minutes away. This is like a math problem that I had to do in high school. Is it silly that this is one of my concerns? It is going to be so hard now to swing by and purchase my beloved olive oil or my huge bag of chia seeds. Any advice on how to cope with my loss of Costcos close to where I live? Well, this is a travesty and a tragedy. Losing your close Costcos, I can't imagine. You don't frequent a Costco, do you, Sammy?
I don't.
I mean, you are an individual who lives alone.
I have a roommate.
Yeah.
Well, they actually ever got a Costco card. And so she's always like, you need anything for the grocery store? It's like, no, I don't want 700 pounds of chicken breast, but thank you.
Well, look, I do. Listener, Look, I understand. I don't think it's silly to take these kinds of things into consideration. Living near a grocery store is important. Knowing where your food and products are coming from, especially if like you have budgeted and Costco is what works best for you. I get it. That's annoying. I would say though, listener, I don't know if you work during the day at a place outside of the home, if you can set up some time to make, I don't know if you have family, children, I don't know your deal. So I don't want to be like, hey, go on a Monday at 10 o'clock when you might be in the office seeing patients at your veterinary business. I just made up a life for this listener. They're a vet. But I would say like, maybe you can figure out what you love to get from Costco, and you're just going to have to get into a new rhythm of when you go, of how often you go, of what you buy, of how much you buy. Look, there's a whole science to Costco, and I think you already know what works for you now, and you're just going to have to adjust. And, you know, 30 minutes, put on a good podcast or an audiobook or, you know, like your confidence boosting song playlist that we are going to put together. Make it an experience if you can. Maybe you go once a month. Stock up on all those chia seeds. Buy more olive oil than you normally get. Hopefully you have a big storage facility for all this. But I don't think it's silly. It's moving. You have to change like your whole pattern of behavior and where you go and what you frequent and your gas station and your pharmacy. Like that disrupts everything. So it's not, even though it sounds silly when we're like, I'm sad about losing my Costco or whatever it might be. I get it. You have to get a new coffee shop. You get a lot of new stuff when you move. Sammy, you want to weigh in here?
You'll be fine. I mean, yeah,
breaking your habits.
Yeah, breaking your habits is hard and tough, but you'll figure it out, especially because Costco is like a really, really great place. And the best thing about it is in bulk.
Yeah, so right?
It'll
be fine. Costco's actually like built for you to move far away.
Yeah.
There are people who I think like who live 2 hours from a Costco and probably go once every 2 months and pack up the car.
Yeah.
And drive home full of chia seeds.
Love it.
And you could also like, let's say you have kids, make it, you know, you can go, you can have lunch, you can eat a hot dog.
Yeah.
One of the yogurt parfaits. You ever been to that cafe at Costco, Sammy?
No.
You are missing out.
I know.
It is. The pizzas at Costco are fantastic. So maybe you can get your gas. So maybe you can make it a bigger thing so that you don't have to do it as frequently.
Right. Make it a little bit more fun.
Make it like a family vacation or like a personal self-care Costco spa day.
There you go.
There we go. Well, listeners, Sammy, thank you for stepping in and taking on this task of mini episode questions. It's not easy.
No.
It's hard work.
Wowee.
Yeah. But I appreciate your input here. And listeners, thank you so much. Sammy, just a quick shout out. Where can we find you?
Go to my Instagram, it_your_Sam. Get really silly on there. Twitter, I'm at Sammy Junio, SameeJunio. Very silly there as well. Don't find me on Facebook.
I like how you're silly everywhere. Also, Sammy is the executive producer of a new show on Netflix, which you should definitely watch. It's called Historical Roasts.
Yep. Out on Memorial Day. Binge it and then tell Netflix to keep going.
Yay. Thanks, everybody. Bye.